Thanks, Blessings Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, May 7th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Vendors are urged to stop banking daily collections until Zimbabwe comes out clean on the proposed introduction of bond notes.
People must primarily hold banking with the financial institutions in the country following a dangerous policy ambivalence by the government of Zimbabwe. As you know, in the past, millions of our people lost millions of dollars.
We have a new segment on girls and development which focuses on the needs of young people.
We are creating this platform to hear stakeholders that work with us, even the ministers. We want to hear more from the people that are working with young people, but also, most importantly, they themselves.
And as usual, we'll focus on women's issues. Stay tuned. Zimbabwean vendors have been urged to stop banking daily collections until the country comes out clean on the proposed introduction of bond notes. Promise Mkonazi of the Zimbabwe Informal Sector Organization says vendors should continue with this protest until Zimbabwe stops its move to introduce the bond notes.
People must primarily hold banking with the financial institutions in the country following a dangerous policy ambivalence by the government of Zimbabwe. As you know, in the past, millions of our people lost millions of dollars when we transited from the Zim dollar to the US dollar. And those people have never been compensated. And we are making this precautionary statement to guard against the prejudice of our people by a government that is not known to be trustworthy, that we cannot trust with the custody of our money. As you know, 15 billion has disappeared, and it has not been accounted for, and not a single person has been held accountable for that money. So we are really doing this as a precautionary measure to guard against our hard-earned money, to guard the interests of the people that we represent, the people in the informal sector, the vendors, small scale miners, and so on and so forth.
But these people that you're talking about, Mr. Mkwananzi, were they actually banking the money, or you are making just an appeal here?
Yes, part of what we have been trying to do was to work with the banks and the government to encourage our people to utilize banking facilities. But unfortunately, the recent developments show that it is actually not prudent for us to continue with that encouragement. That's why we made this immediate announcement to our people to hold the using the banking facilities until there is clarity in terms of what this new money, the implications of this new money on the money market is, its value, whether it's going to be consistent, whether it's going to be bonded to the US dollar, consistent and honest way or not.
That was Promise Mkwananzi of the Zimbabwe Informal Sector Organization speaking with Studio 7. Central Bank Governor John Manguja was not reachable for comment.
Hello, everybody. This is Nyara Domesha Mabidogo from Tiger Life, representing girls and young women on the new show, Girls and Development. We're going to be together every week talking about girls and development and the things that we can do for them. Tune in every Saturday and have fun with us. Thank you.
Welcome, Mira. Welcome, Mira. Welcome.
In this first edition of Girls and Development, let's hear what our partner Nyari Masha Mombe has today. Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. Today, we've got a new program, Girls and Development, with our partner Nyari Masha Mombe. She's the founder of Take a Life International. Nyari, how are you?
I'm very good, Kip. How are you? Hello, Zimbabwe.
I'm great. And tell us what you think you're going to be doing today.
Yes. So today, we're just going to introduce the program to the people of Zimbabwe, where we're just going to talk really about why talk about the girl child, why talk about the young women, what's so special about them. Kips, I just want to let people know that I'm just going to be the facilitator of a discussion every week where we talk to different young people, because I also realize that we have a lot of young people who are doing amazing work around this issue in Zimbabwe. And today, I am very honored to host my aunt, Imelda Viriri. She is the programs officer at TALI, who's responsible for some of the programs that TALI does in the community. So many young people will be featured in this program.
Right. I'm leaving everything to you now.
Right. So I'm going to just jump into the discussion today, Imelda. As you heard that, I'm very much interested in knowing what young people are doing out there, to, especially to advance the rights of girls and young women and their well-being as human beings. Tell me about yourself quickly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nyari. How are you, Gibbs? How are you, Zimbabwe? My name is Imelda Viriri, and I'm the Programs Officer for Tag Your Life International, and I'm a young woman myself who is very passionate and vibrant about other young women.
Why should the world stop and start to focus more about the girl child, about the young women, about the young people? As a young person, why should we talk about girls and young women?
Okay, thank you. That is a very good question. Why the girl child? Well, looking at our Zim context, and I think around the world, inequality is a reality where we see that the boy child is more favored and the girl child is a little bit more vulnerable than the boy child in terms of issues like gender-based violence, where you find that statistics gives us that one boy in six girls, like 1 to 6, is affected by gender-based violence.
Oh, so you are saying that when one boy is affected, girls are affected six times more than the boy child. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to explain.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
And also when we look at the issue of socialization, we find that girls and boys are equal only in the womb, but at birth, gender aspects take over, and you find that a girl child is told how to behave. Society has these constructs or perceptions on how a girl child should behave, and this then puts the girl child at a place where she is inferior, and therefore we are coming in as TALI to also... TALI, short for Tag Your Life International, to address the socially constructed gender roles, which then advance the notion that girls cannot do certain things that boys can do. So basically, that's why we are focusing on the girl child.
Okay. Do you think that we should treat the boy child and the man as enemies, or these should be partners that we work with? Because if we ride on the fact that yes, the girl child is affected, yes, the young woman is affected, but don't you think that boys are also affected by the way culture raises them? How do we address that?
I will just point out and say, as Tag Your Life International, our mission is to create a safe place for the girl child with the inclusion of boys and men. And here,
right,
when we talk of inclusion, we are saying we want the boy child to move from a point of being a would-be perpetrator to being also a champion for the rights of the girls and even the boys themselves. So we are not isolating the boys and the men, but we are saying we want to partner with them so that,
right,
we can create that safe environment for the girl child.
Right. Now that you've told us a little bit about what TALI is doing with the girls and young women, as well as the involvement of boys and men and communities within their communities, so what would be your parting shot if you were to tell us what is the situation right now in Zimbabwe, and what would be your parting shot for the episode today?
Okay, my parting words would be that as a nation, we need to join hands, different stakeholders, to address issues to do with capacity building of women, the young girls, so that they can be empowered to take their place and voice out their specific needs, and also to educate the young girl, to value her education and imparting knowledge on her, because we all know that knowledge is power. So I would say that you know, even on the aspect of child marriages that we're running with in Zimbabwe. It is time that we join hands as a nation to create a safe place for the girl child.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Imelda. I can tell that I could give you the whole day and you would go on and on about the girl child. But thank you very much. You're a very young woman myself, Imelda. As I mentioned, that this show is not going to be about Nyari only talking. Nyari will be giving her opinions here and there. But this show is to allow young women like Imelda voices. I mean, people have been hearing Nyari, people have been hearing other voices, but we are creating this platform to hear young women. We are creating this platform to hear stakeholders that work with us, even the ministers. We want to hear more from the people that are working with young people, but also, most importantly, they themselves, because we want to say, not for them, without them. Thank you very much, Imelda. Thank you, Zimbabwe. It was so great spending time with you, talking about the girl and development. It's your girl, Nyara Zomashaya Mombe.
Thanks very much, Nyari Mashaya Mombe of Take a Life International and Imelda Viriri. Till next week, take care. And you're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 Metam Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It is not a great time to be an ISIL fighter. Because of the intensified efforts of the counter-ISIL coalition, ISIL, also known as Daesh fighters, are facing pay cuts, a shortage of manpower, a decrease in perks, like using vehicles for personal use, and, more importantly, a shortage of medical expertise, as doctors reportedly flee ISIL-held territory. Now they face a new worry. President Barack Obama approved additional support for Iraqi forces fighting ISIL. On April 25th, President Obama also announced increased support for local forces fighting in Syria.
A small number of American Special Operations Forces are already on the ground in Syria, and their expertise has been critical as local forces have driven ISIL out of key areas. So given the success, I've approved the deployment of up to 250 additional U.S. personnel in Syria, including special forces, to keep up this momentum.
The additional U.S. forces will not be leading the fight on the ground. Instead, they will be assisting and advising indigenous counter-ISIL fighters, including Kurdish, Arab, and other Syrian forces, said State Department spokesperson John Kirby.
Our goal is to provide advice and assistance to all those who can effectively go after Daesh.
At a press briefing, U.S. Air Force Major General Peter Gersten, the U.S.-led coalition's deputy commander for operations and intelligence, said that ISIL's morale is beginning to deteriorate at a fairly increasing rate, adding that fighters have been trying to defect, at times claiming to be refugees and even disguising themselves as women. That's the kind of cowardice we're dealing with. Major General Gersten emphasized, however, that this enemy is a persistent cancer. If left unchecked, it will continue to metastasize and significantly infect the world. Right now, he said, we've got them in a position that they cannot maneuver on the battle space in an effective way. But, he added, we also must understand that this fight requires both patience and time.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we're gladly joined by the Minister of Labor and Social Welfare, Prisca Mupfumira. Amaim Fumira will take us through what made her decide to become a minister and the road that she traveled to get to that position. She also talks about some of the mentoring work that she's doing with younger women. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Amai Prisca Mfumira. Minister Mfumira, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get to be heading this ministry? It's normally a very male-dominated ministry looking at the past history.
I think what is very important is your background, your experience, your educational qualifications, and your ability, and the leadership, the president. So it fits knowing me from the past where I was in the private sector, my capacity to lead and he gave me this important ministry, and I'm doing my best to ensure that I don't let him down. It needs a lot of hard work, a lot of patience, a lot of just expanding your knowledge, knowing what's happening in the environment and in the particular ministry. So it's just about hard work and being just like anyone, not being given special treatment. I'm just a person who works hard, who is humble as far as work is concerned, and using my previous experience, I'm able to soldier on. It's a difficult, tough ministry, but very important to the country.
And some may ask that how have you been able to balance work, family, and your social life? Who is the Priscam Fumira, they may ask?
I think it's about prioritization and time management. I'm a mother, well, a widow now, a mother, a grandmother. I have to give my family their time. I also need to lead a social life, my religious life. I participate actively in the church, and in the area I live in, I also socialize with the local women so that I'm not a complete stranger to what is happening around me. And more importantly, time management. When it's work time, I focus on work, do it thoroughly with high integrity. And if it's time to socialize, I also socialize. So it's really about balancing and time management so that no area of your life suffers. I spend my time with my grandchildren, with my children, and holidaying. We go with the family. And when it's time for work, it's time for work. And also, I don't need any special treatment.
And also you mentioned a very important part. You said that you are very actively involved in on the religious side. Which church do you go to, and how important is it for you to be grounded religiously as a woman?
It's very important because that's my strength. That's where I get my life. I'm very Catholic. I'm a Catholic, and I believe in it, and the church, God keeps me going. And everything which I do is all for the greater glory of God, not my glory, for his people. And therefore, I believe without God, I cannot be where I am. This church also offers a lot of psychosocial support for me in all the things I do. First and foremost is God and the church.
And there may be some women and young girls listening out there who are aspiring to take up decision-making positions like what you hold right now. What's your word of advice? Can it be attained?
I think hard work, knowledge, patience, and humility. Those things are required. And being honest and being you, ability to interact with a lot of people, but it requires a lot of hard work and commitment and soberness.
And as a last word of advice, maybe just if you have anything else that you want to share, you are coming into this ministry at the time that the economy is really not looking very good. How have you been able to do your day-to-day work?
Trust in God, using the available resources to best advantage, and interacting with other people, just being there for the people I work for, and prioritizing who needs me most. And as it is in my ministry, I deal with labor issues, I deal with the vulnerables, all vulnerables, the underprivileged, the orphans, the disabled, the elderly, all fall within my purview. So it has also to be within me to want to help the vulnerable. And public service, that's the largest employer, it also falls under me. So love of people is important as well. Loving my job and doing it to my best without worrying about the negatives. Look at the positives which are there in the country. And I believe I can do it just like any other man.
On that note, time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Minister Priscam Fumira, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And that is the music of Nyari Masha Mombe coming to you from Washington, D.C. Now to recap today's top stories. Vendors have been asked to stop banking daily collections until Zimbabwe comes out clean on the proposed introduction of bond notes. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday to hear more about girl children in our new show focusing on girls and development. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntunga Melikomo. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.